Welcome back to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Aphrodite.
And I'm Amira.
And boy, have we got stuff to talk about today.
We do. OMG.
Oh,
it's juicy.
I'm fanning myself. There's just so much has happened in the last week on TV for queer women of color ships. And we promised you last time that we would be picking up where we left off of to talk about Black Lightning, but we also have a new show to talk about today. I hope y'all have been paying attention because the Charmed reboot is delivering for us. Before we dive into our ships of the week, Amira, I know you had an announcement to make.
Yes, I do. So I have been checking out this new show on Netflix called Haunting of Hill House, and I feel like this is a perfect time. You know, it's like we're getting in the Halloween spirit, my fave holiday. It does in fact feature a queer woman who gets with a queer woman of color. You know, as I'm only four episodes in, it now seems like this may be the ship of the show. Now, fair warning, the show is not for the faint of heart. It is a scary show, and I say that being like, you know, a scary show and movie junkie. So Aphrodite, you definitely don't want to watch it.
Oh man.
But bonuses. There are some very brief but intense sex scenes, and those are the only sex scenes I've seen so far. There hasn't been hetero ones.
Well, that's nice.
yeah, the love interest is a gorgeous Gaijin who is super smart and like really tatted up. Like, yeah, it's great. It's great.
Amira.
And like,
this week alone in terms of like Gaijin representation, my eyes are watering.
I know. God. This is like just the tip of the Gaijin iceberg, man. We're going to get into it. But yeah, so Haunting of Hill House, if you're into scary stuff and you're looking for something fun to get you in the Halloween spirit, definitely check it out. It's a really cool show in general, and then like as a bonus features a QWOC ship, so hopefully she stays with the Gaijin girl, because otherwise, you know, if she gets with a white girl, then it's all over. But I mean, I'll still watch it, but the C part is out anyway. Okay, Aphrodite, let me paint you a picture. Imagine a show with two women of color sisters. The one is hashtag angry feminist, activist, lesbian. She teaches at a school where her younger sister attends. Her younger sister is trying to fit in, and the older sister admonishes her behavior because she really just worries about her. Both eventually discover that they have powers. Am I talking about Black Lightning or Charmed? You tell me.
Oh my God, I'm screaming.
The parallels are like in your face. I could not believe it. Like, as I'm watching the premiere of Charmed, I'm like, hang on. I've seen this before.
Oh my God. I am tearing up, Amira. You are so good at this.
Thank you.
You're so good at this. You're brilliant. You're fucking brilliant. Oh my God. You're totally right. I mean, it's not just that we got queer feels. I got sister feels. Like, I'm an older sister, and my relationship with my younger sister is often kind of like that, too, where I'm definitely the more politicized one.
You're the angry lesbian feminist.
Yeah, that's me.
That's literally you.
That's why I relate so hard to these characters, except for I'm kind of mad at Anissa. But
Let's dive into that. Let's talk about Black Lightning. So this week we got just a little flicker of a taste of some gay shit.
Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever. We could have had more, but
I really love
I'm trying not to complain.
I know. Like, I love that scene where Anissa and her sister are on the bed. Like, they have that great sister banter. Jennifer is like, you better put yourself back out there before you dry out.
I know. Oh my God, Jennifer, stop.
Oh my God.
Also, their little, just like as a side note, the fact that they apparently don't get period cramps anymore after their powers came out, I'm like, what? Come on. I am very jealous. I watched that as I was feeling my period cramps, and I was like, this is just an insult.
In the scene after that, Anissa is seen at some like super queer chill out, hang at somebody's like gigantic it's loft like apartment.
Super gay apparent, like right away. Yeah. And like this woman is like playing the guitar and crooning, and Anissa is jamming out like she's had a few drinks. Like she's the only one moving.
Yeah, she's the only one moving. And she's wearing this like baller jumpsuit.
Oh yeah. What was that outfit? It was amazing. God, like where does she get these clothes? Anyway, I also want to point out that this like gay shindig is just full of like gorgeous femmes, which like obviously is my version of heaven, but like can we please get some butches on the screen? Like come on.
For real.
You know there'd be butches all up in that bar.
For
you know
real. I actually feel like most femmes that I know are attracted to masculine of center queer women.
It's true.
So it's not even representative.
Exactly.
It's, it's improbable.
I mean, there are definitely some femme for femmes.
No.
Hashtag Aphrodite.
Yes. Yes. There are me's out there. But like from a numbers perspective, numbers wise, improbable for this many femmes who are queer women on TV to only be interested in other femmes.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention Butch looks different like across the board. I feel like straight people don't realize that you're not just giving a girl a buzz cut and putting her in a suit. You know, you've got the, like, skater boy BOI butches and, like, you know, the, like, flannel butches. And, like, it's just, like, there's different looks. And they all come together to form this beautiful quilt of butches. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the quilt. The full quilt.
Yes. I mean, that was definitely a queer party, whatever that hangout was.
For sure. For sure. I mean, where else would Anissa be so bold as to say that pickup line? What was that? Did she practice that?
Okay, she definitely used that line before. She's okay, like, because Anissa...
This is your... Following your Anissa is a fuckboy theory, right?
Yes, yes. But the other thing to realize is, like, everyone there has to also be queer, and everyone there has to also be into this hot girl. So Anissa had to move quickly. She was like, the song's
and
over. I'm going to go right up there. I'm going to push the crowd away, and I'm going to make my hard pass at this woman, who is also Asian. By the way, I'm pretty sure she's so also Asian.
Gaysian number two.
Gaysian number
story.
Two. I'm like, Anissa, do you have a type? I don't know. Would I feel weird about it if you did? I don't know. But yeah, so she like jumps right in there.
That's true. Well, the first girl we see her with is black. So at least we know that she's not exclusively dating.
So it's not exclusively. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this, it's an N of three right now. There.
Yeah. thank you.
For the scientists out there.
Yeah.
So Anissa
I would
on.
Be comfortable with like a few more just to like, you know, take a
round
look at
it
the
out. Data. Yeah, 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 yeah. Round it out. But like she came on so damn strong. Right after the girl finishes her song, she says, "How about you get naked and sing me a song?"
Yeah, that's what she ended up basically saying. Oh man.
And then the singer, her response is like, "Those who dare win."
Yeah.
Damn.
That was weird. I was like, this has threatening undertones and I am aroused. I mean, were you not?
I like
mean, that
no.
was like
it was super hot. It was super hot. I'm disappointed we did not get that love scene, but fine.
We didn't get a kiss. We didn't get a love scene.
It's okay.
All we get is some sort of morning after that wasn't even clear. I was like, I honestly, for a second, I thought they were in a hotel, and then I realized, oh my god, that's that girl's like house or whatever. I don't know, you know, her vacation home.
And she's like,
she offers to take her to get the jet and go for dim sum in New York. And Anissa goes, "Oh, so you got it like that?"
Jesus.
Oh, I have to admit, I am shallow and I'm a sucker for sugar mamas, so like she would have had me in the palm of her hand.
Same. You realize this hits like three check boxes for me, like Asian, rich, and dim sum.
I was like, what's the third box? Because I'm like, she's not older. That's usually one of your boxes.
Yeah, I tweeted about this. I'm like, Anissa, how do you say no to a hot girl in a bikini inviting you on her private jet to get dim sum?
Yeah.
Oh my god. So she doesn't stick around, but apparently there's some party that they both go to later
at the same bar. I'm sure lesbians can relate.
Yeah.
It's like the one spot.
Yeah. Graceful Grace is there.
She's a waitress.
And she's watching them dance and kiss at this party from a distance.
Anissa, in true fuckboy mode, just oblivious, smiles at her and waves like, "Oh, hey," not even ashamed. like, I was expecting her to be like, oh, shoot. But she was, like, totally cool. Like,
so I had so many mixed feelings about this, actually. And I want us to debrief this. Because we do not have enough information to know whether Anissa fuckboyed this or not. We don't know the extent of their interaction since last season. Like, Anissa had left a voicemail message for Grace saying that she missed her and wanted to see her, but we don't know anything. Like, was Grace trying to contact her again? Were they still interested in each other? Did one person ghost the other? Because I did think Anissa sort of like looking over and smiling and waving, that was kind of like a little bit of an asshole thing to do. But also, like, she and Grace weren't together. So
no, they weren't together. And I was a little bit confused because, like you said, I thought that Anissa had tried to contact her, but then she said something like, I'm sorry, I haven't called. So is Anissa in the wrong because she didn't call? But, like, was Grace also not calling? Because we don't see, you know, Anissa not taking her calls. The answer to this is we need more screen time devoted to the storyline so that we can have more answers. Yeah.
Here are some clues. Clue number one. Anissa, like, looks over and smiles. She's trying to be friendly, and maybe she's being friendly to compensate for whatever thing that she did that was an asshole move to Grace. When Grace sees Anissa, instead of, like, running away, she just looks disappointed. And that, to me, says that Grace was the one who got, like, dropped.
Yeah. She almost kind of runs away because she, like, hands off her tray to someone and then, like, turns and walks away, like, all annoyed, you know?
Oh, but she doesn't. So, what I meant is that she doesn't run away ashamed of her own behavior. Grace has nothing to be embarrassed about, but Anissa does. And so Anissa hides her embarrassment with smiles. I don't think she's actually ashamed.
I don't think so either. I think she just was like, oh, hey, look, it's Grace. You know, it was just, I don't know. It was a weird moment. And it almost seemed like she didn't even fully register, like, oh, yeah, that's my friend Grace. Like, oh, not like, that's my friend that I was fucking for a while and haven't talked to.
Yeah.
Probably should have called. You know, it's, I don't know. It's like it really didn't even cross her mind. And that's why I kind of feel like it's a fuckboy mentality where they just don't even realize the damage that they've caused. She just seemed a little bit oblivious. And, you know, earlier in the episode, we see her getting kind of cocky with her superhero status and stuff like that. And I feel like she's just kind of going through a little bit of an attitude shift where things are maybe going to her head a little bit. So maybe that's why she was really oblivious about how Grace would be affected by seeing her, because she's sort of just thinking about herself.
Based on our gathering of the data and our read of the scene, Anissa is definitely still a fuckboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like she's being really shallow here in her relationships with other people. Clearly, Grace is hurt by that, and Anissa didn't do anything to help. She just sort of said, hey, I'm sorry, I've been busy. And then Grace is like, yeah, I can see that. And you've been busy, like, macking on other women. Okay, so basically, Anissa goes out, she wants to get laid. And her first thought is to go up to some rando instead of call up Grace.
I don't think she would think of Grace as a booty call, which I guess is a good thing. Because I feel like that's definitely a textbook fuckboy move to make, is call up the girl that you haven't talked to in ages because you want to get laid.
No, that's totally fair. Good point. Like, Grace is definitely, like, girlfriend material. Yeah, of course. That's why Anissa's scared. Whereas this other girl is, like, straight up booty call. She can sing and she has money and she's this, like, swanky apartment, but we don't know anything about who she is as a person. Is this going to be a love triangle type situation? So what do you think? Do you think this is going to be like an ongoing love triangle? Do you think this is like a one and done type deal?
I feel like it's going to be a one-off. It's going to be maybe the thing that brings Anissa and Grace back together. I think that this new girl is just like a plot device, basically. Step one has already been achieved. Grace saw Anissa. She's clearly like upset, jealous, whatever. Anissa realizes that Grace, A, still exists, and B, probably still has feelings for her. Mm-hmm. And maybe Anissa's realizing that she also has feelings. Anissa maybe will, like, try to continue things with this new girl, but ultimately realize that she is not the one for her. Things will go from there. Because, again, we know from the comics that Grace, this is not the end of her story. So she has to come back somehow, and they're going to be together. It has to happen. It's canon. We're not going to change it that much, right, in the TV adaptation, because that's pretty fundamental to the story.
It was hard to watch that scene and watch Grace's face fall like that. And I definitely felt like that was a really relatable moment, because nothing sucks more than watching your crush be with somebody else.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah. It's painful. I felt for her. Grace deserves Absolutely. Better. I want her to be happy.
We should start and I want a hashtag yeah. of Grace.
Grace deserves better.
Like, she really does. I mean,
on the one hand, yes, they're the ship that we're supposed to be rooting for, but like Anissa hasn't exactly earned a spot there. Anissa hasn't followed through and she hasn't, I don't know, she hasn't shown any sort of like real, I think, emotional vulnerability, to be honest.
Yeah. So far Anissa as a character she's just not really likable as a love interest, to be honest. Like, I'm not really rooting for her with anyone because she's like the friend that I wouldn't set anyone up with because I wouldn't want to put them through that, you know? I feel like we all have that friend where it's like, oh, I can think of someone that, you know, you would want to date, but I don't want to do that to even a complete stranger because
yeah,
I know what you're going to do to them, you know?
We all have friends like that. Friends who would be terrible dates.
Yeah. So I'm hoping she gets her act together. And like I said, I feel like this is sort of an attitude problem that's like stretched beyond just her love life. It's sort of like become like a part of her character, and mm-hmm. it's been addressed. So I'm hoping that means that it's going to change. All right. We will hopefully be covering Black Lightning more as the season progresses. But, you know, as we've noticed before, they don't necessarily include queer content in every episode. And when they do, like in this episode, it's not super plentiful. Although, yeah. of course, we'll stretch it out into, like,
yeah.
a day-long conversation regardless, but...
Yeah, for sure. This is definitely a situation where they're trying to give us a slow burn, mm-hmm. but it's a slow burn and it's a plot B. So
exactly, yeah.
When it's a slow burn plus plot B, we just don't know when we're going to get more content.
Anyway, I have my hopes very high for the other show we're going to discuss, which is Charmed. I think that this is going to be similar to The Bold Type, where mm-hmm. the gay storyline is kind of like front and center in a lot of it. And the reason I think that is because this new reboot has a lot of parallels with the old one, which of course we expected. But, let's get into them in a bit. So just to preface, my girlfriend is sort of a Charmed expert, you would say. She watched the original series and was giving me her feedback as we watched the reboot, and then we got inspired. So just so you know, the entire original series is on Netflix, so if you wanted to, you can go back and watch it. But be warned, as Kristen told me, we started the first episode and there was like a shot, there was like a cat in the scene, and she turns to me, she goes, there are a lot of cats on this show. And then after a brief pause, she says, also a lot of hetero nonsense, just to let you know. So be warned, the original okay. features three white sisters, everyone's straight, and, you know, the effects are much cheesier, it's very campy, whatever, which is fun, of course, but, yeah. Anyway, okay.
Yeah. Honestly, that's why I didn't watch the original Charmed.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. They're, like, I'm, like, three sisters, and not one of them is queer, so I don't have I don't have reference material. I'm not comparing it to.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So I have plenty of notes. Don't worry. But I can assure you, this reboot is an upgrade in many, many ways. First Ooh. Of all three sisters are played by women of color. They are portraying Latina sisters.
It's interesting, on the Otto Straddle recap, the writer talks about how she was disappointed because she thought all three were going to be Latinas, but mm-hmm. only one of the actresses is like actually Latina, mm-hmm. And the other two are Black, but the mom is a Latina, so technically her children should also be. But I guess my thinking is, like, we get three leads, all of whom are women of color,
yes.
playing like women of color who both the actresses and the character are mm-hmm, characters mm-hmm. of color. And so, you know, I'm obviously not Latinx, so I can't speak to, I guess, like how difficult it might be to be promised something that you didn't get. Like, maybe you were mm-hmm. promised with an all Latina lead reboot, and instead you get like only a couple of the characters are Latina and not all of them, or maybe you expected all three sisters to be. So I'm sure that it's painful to like be told something that it wasn't later.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, there were plenty of things where they were promising Arab characters and they were anything but, so I get it.
Yeah.
But I will say that I feel like these three women, at least in the premiere, they seem to vibe well. And I kind of like how we have Macy, the oldest half-sister, introduced later. Like, she didn't grow up with the other two and they didn't know each other existed. As opposed to the original series where it was just three sisters who grew up together.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of, you know, an interesting new family dynamic.
Mm-hmm. So of the three of them, the older one who didn't grow up with them is a scientist. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. She has a PhD definitely... in molecular genetics. Hot.
What? Yeah.
I know.
So much yeah. nerd love here. And then,
yeah, and, sorry, go yeah. ahead.
The queer one. I love how like, unabashedly feminist she is. Like when she's at this protest and she's shouting, "We believe women, we believe all women."
I know. Like, I know. She's a grad student in the women's studies department at Hilltown University. This takes place in the fictional Michigan town of Hilltown. And just FYI, the original series actually took place in San Francisco. So wait, also it's entirely Michigan? Different. Yeah, it's supposed to be set in Michigan. Yeah, a fictional Michigan town. So, cool. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I feel like Mel, so she's now went from being the oldest sister to the middle sister, is like the great, like, it's kind of like the older sister that like every lesbian wishes that they had.
Right.
But usually, like in your case, Aphrodite, you are that sister.
Yeah. Like, this was definitely a situation where I was like, do I want to date you or do I want to be your best friend? And like, and I actually think like Mel is someone I would definitely want to be like best friends with. Mm-hmm. Like I would want us to hang out. Let's go to protests together. Like, you know, like we could do stuff. We could be angry together. She's great. Easily my favorite of the three, not just because she's queer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the youngest, is a freshman at also Hilltown University, where Mel is a TA. And she's trying to rush a sorority and, you know, like finding her place, trying to fit in, blah, blah, blah. Again, basically, she's Jennifer from Black Lightning, except college instead of high school. Yeah, I feel like she kind of has the least, like, I'm not really sure, like, where her personality is going, I guess. Mm. So far, she just seems like, you know, younger, slightly insecure girl, but she's like, she stands up for herself when it counts. But yeah, so the episode starts with their mom doing some sort of spell and she ends up getting killed. And this is exactly how the original series first episode also started. Their mom does a spell, except instead of being thrown out of a window, she was stabbed. So the police were already investigating it as a murder, but it was a pattern and like a string of murders. Like other women had been found stabbed at what appeared to be some sort of altar. So they thought that there was some sort of witchcraft thing going on. Now, in the original series, the eldest sister, who was like some sort of art historian or something, Prue. By the way, so in the older series, their names are Prue, Piper, and Phoebe. All of them are P names. And in this one, it's Mel, Macy, and Maggie. All of them are M names.
Mm-hmm.
So Prue, the eldest sister in the original series, had some sort of relationship with a detective who was helping investigate, I guess, these crimes. And so that's reflected in the newer series where Mel is also dating a detective who she's trying to convince to investigate her mother's murder while other people, they think it was just a suicide. Only the twist is the detective is a Gaijin.
Yes!
And that makes three Gaijins for this podcast.
Oh! So. And she's like a nerdy Gaijin too. Do you see her glasses?
She's so cute. Yeah. Yes. Her name is Nico. She is Japanese and she's played by a Japanese actress. So they're really cute together. Although we find out later that apparently Nico dumped Mel, after Mel's mom died because, we didn't see it happening, but you know, after they talk about it, it seems like Mel sort of was pushing Nico away during her grief and stuff like that. So Nico, broke up with her, but by the end of the episode, it looks like they're getting back together. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's also another thing that makes this show queer, because there is nothing queerer than lesbians in an on and off relationship.
It's so funny because I feel like that is really common, and yet that has not happened to me.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good for you. I consider it a badge of honor.
Yeah. No, it's you're also a rarity. It's like, oh my gosh, the amount of like relationship backsliding that happens in the queer women community.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad.
So let's talk about their dynamic. Like, it's clear that between the two of them, Mel is the hot-headed, emotional, like politicized one, and her on and off again girlfriend Nico is the sort of she's calm and collected, and she must be a thinker since she wears glasses and she's a detective.
because she wears glasses. Yeah, it definitely seems sort of more like a type A personality with Mel. And like Nico, I wouldn't say she's like an introvert, but she's definitely the more like calm and collected kind of person, it seemed like. Although we did really only see their interactions after Mel's mother had died. So I feel like maybe we were seeing Nico trying to handle Mel with kid gloves, for lack of a better phrase, you know? So I'd love to see them kind of in their prime.
My favorite line came towards the end where Mel confesses that she's only able to use her powers when she's not angry.
Yes. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
And the look on her face.
I know. And the look on her younger sister's face, then her younger sister says, your powers are judging you.
Yeah.
That was great. But what it reveals about the dynamic between Mel and Nico, by the way, their ship name is Melco. What it reveals about Melco is that the moment when Mel realizes she has the power, she has this power, the ability to freeze time, is when Nico is with her. And so having Nico there, like, calms her down and makes her stop being angry. So I feel like we find out something about Nico's effect on her. Indirectly through her discovery of through Mel's discovery of her own powers.
Yeah. Also, just as a note, again, relating it to the original series. So they have almost the exact same powers as the original sisters.
I was going to ask that next.
Yeah. So Macy has the power of telekinesis, which is the same power that the eldest Prue had. Interesting twist. They found out Prue's power of telekinesis worked when she is angry. So Mel, the middle sister, has the same time freezing power as Piper. So Phoebe in the original series had the power of premonition. And then later, because Kristen, my girlfriend, says the writers felt bad for her for giving her such a passive power. So later she developed these like martial arts skills, and it just like came to her. She didn't like train, you know. So Maggie in the new series has telepathy, not premonition. So when she touches people, she can read their thoughts. And then it seems like from that scene where she kicks off her ex-boyfriend, who in my opinion is being really creepy, but of course they're going to get together and I hate that, but whatever.
Gross.
No. I know. Yeah. So he was possessed by a demon and like for real trying to attack her. And she like threw him off of her with the strength of Xena herself. And so I think that she is also going to get those martial arts powers, but a lot earlier on. I think maybe the writers sort of learned from the lesson of the older writers to like not give her such a passive power for so long, because Phoebe apparently moped around a lot about how she like couldn't do anything and felt bad about it.
Oh, so, well, okay. Does she have when you mean martial arts powers, you mean like super strength? Like
it's sort of, that's what I was asking Kristen. Cause I was like, oh wow. So does Maggie have super strength? And she was like, well, if it's going to be like the original series, it's probably going to be like some sort of like martial arts thing. Like she's just like a really good fighter, but I think like she is also, you know, above average strong for like a normal human.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, it was even referenced, like when I looked it up later, it was referred to as martial arts, like in the synopsis of the series and like the people's powers. So that's the impression that I got, is that that's what we're going to see. But if Maggie has super strength instead, I think that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like the dynamic across all three of them. And I like that the only sister whose romantic life was explored in the pilot episode was the gay one.
Yeah. Well, sort of. So Maggie had that boy that, you know.
I guess I forgot about him.
Yeah. He was like, it was supposed to be like he's being sweet, like, don't go into the woods alone. Let me give you a ride, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, stop stalking me.
Yeah.
And then we find out that he was possessed by a demon. We don't know for how long. And then Maggie, you know, kicks him off, and then they get the demon out of him with the baking soda, I guess. Was that the baking soda one? Yeah. And so, which Macy, the scientist, figured out. And Macy also seems to have some sort of love interest. I'm not sure. It seems like this guy that she's, you know, some of her scenes were with him. Remember, like, when she first saw the house, she was, like, walking with him down the street. Mm-hmm. And then later she was with him at the bar. So I don't know if he's supposed to be her love interest, but.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay. That was me just having tunnel vision because I understand.
Yeah. I understand. It's like your brain censors the hetero out.
It really does. I actually think it's kind of a gift. Like, I tend to
you're blessed.
I tend to not notice straight men. Like, I don't see them or remember their faces. And it makes it really hard to remember their names. I don't know, like, most of my male coworkers' names. Wow. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's because, like, I decided at some point, like, enough is enough. Like, what does, like, attention reparations look like? Like, all these white men want, like, demand space. I'm not going to give them anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pretend that they're not there. And so I don't know what kind of, like,
it's brilliant
rewiring I did, but it's been very successful. And so I tend to just not see things, but no, you're right. Mm-hmm. All three of women were given sort of an initial love interest. But the only one whose love interest is visibly white was the youngest ones.
Yes. And the only one that got the most, you know, screen time / intimacy.
We got kisses.
Was with Mel and Nico. Yeah, Maggie kissed that guy whose name I really honestly don't know, and to be frank, don't care. But Maggie kissed him at the end after they, like, got the demon out of him.
Again, didn't see that. Didn't see that. I have no recollection.
I saw it because I was so annoyed. I was like, what did he do? Why did you have to kiss him? Did he deserve that? Like, why? Come on. He didn't do anything.
No.
Anyway, whatever. Yeah, so overall, I'm really, really liking this show. I am going to try to continue watching the original show on Netflix just so that, you know, I always love comparing reboots to the originals. And so if the hetero stuff gets to be too much for me, I may stop.
I will say that I did get a little bit scared watching Charmed.
Oh.
I know. I had to, like, the issue is that the CG effects are, like, more realistic than I want them to be. Like, they're still kind of campy, but I need it to be, like, a little over the top in order for me to handle.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Kristen was saying that in one of, when they were doing the Power of Three will set us free thing at the end, which is also something from the original series, BT Dubs. But when they were doing that thing and, like, they were showing, like, the special effects, Kristen was like, oh, wow, this is much better than the original.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a boost in quality. And, you know, it still is kind of campy and fun, but, yeah, it's, like, it's a little bit scary, spooky, too. So, yeah, I think it's, like, just in time for Halloween, and I'm really happy they're kind of tackling, like, you know, relevant present-day issues. And I really liked the plot line of this episode, how, like, they had reinstated a professor who had these, like, sexual assault allegations made against him. And so that's what Mel was protesting outside. She was like, you know, # like, I believe women, blah, blah, blah. And then there were all of these, like, whatever they're called, like the MRAs, basically, out there counter protesting. And so one of them sees the three sisters, like, vanquish that professor who turns out to be some, like, demon. And then before Harry can wipe his mind, they were like, Mel was like, no, let him remember. And, like, see, no one's going to believe him. And, like, you know what I mean? Basically, like, turning the tables on him. Exactly. I loved that. It was great.
Yeah. This show is very, it's kind of giving me, like, Bold type feels because the writers are in on the sort of the millennial political consciousness. They're very much attuned to it, and they're like, the first sign of the apocalypse, Donald Trump was elected, you know, and so they're being very very explicit. It's not even subtle. It's not, and they're not trying to be subtle. And since I'm watching it live, I see the commercials, and the CW has put out a bunch of commercials saying, like, we include everybody. So they're doing these sort of like a PR campaign around inclusion and diversity and trying to represent different communities.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I think the writers are in on this. The writing room is also like majority women POC, and that's another.
And it shows.
Yeah, and it definitely comes through. So we're seeing a lot of that. I'm kind of wondering how race is going to be tackled on this show, because you do have one sister who is visibly Black.
Yes.
Like obviously, the middle, like the youngest girl, hold on. Is her name Maggie or Macy?
Yes. Maggie, the youngest.
Okay. The youngest.
Macy is the oldest. Yeah.
Okay. The youngest, Maggie, you know, the actress is like half Jamaican, half British, but she's not visibly Black or brown. So doesn't have a darker skin tone. And I kind of wonder, cause it's.
Wait, are you talking about Maggie?
Hold on. What? Sorry.
Sorry.
The youngest sister, doesn't appear to be Black. She passes for Black.
But she's the one who's half Black and half Indigenous Canadian, the actress herself, right? That's the one you're talking about. The Jamaican one, I think you're talking about Macy, the actress who plays Macy.
My bad. Sorry.
Because I have Afro-Caribbean in my notes for her, so I'm pretty sure that's the
okay.
One
thank you. I'm sure you did more homework than I did. But
I just copy and pasted from Wikipedia. So,
well, I'm kind of curious because this is clearly now a multiracial sisterhood, I wonder, okay, are they going to talk about how their experiences might be different? Is race going to be something that's not talked about at all, and they're just going to be, you know, I'm those are kind of the kind of questions I want to ask for a show that's this like heavily POC oriented.
Yeah, I think for sure they're going to tackle some race issues. I think, yeah, I mean. I can't really imagine. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it would be really weird and ridiculous if they didn't.
To not.
I mean, especially with that writer's room, like, why wouldn't they? You know, why wouldn't they think to do that? For sure, they wouldn't talk about it.
Well, they're already sending a message about the Me Too movement and and like sexual assault, sexual harassment with this like the first demon in the pilot episode. So they're sending us like a very loud and clear message there. So I'm hoping that they kind of tackle that, and also like just the fact that we get another interracial queer woman of color ship, like this is really remarkable, because I posted this to our QWOC ship Twitter account that Mel and Nico are the 10th interracial queer woman of color ship that we've seen on TV that doesn't include a white person. And it's really remarkable. It's really remarkable. Like to have this happen within the same week and we're talking about in the same podcast episode. Wow. And it's also like on the same network. They're both on the CW, right?
Yeah.
So that's just a lot. All
I know. I mean, I feel like the CW let us down with Supergirl just like as a whole.
Yeah.
And now they're like trying to make up for it.
Yeah.
Now with Black, you know, first with Black Lightning, now with Charmed, they're like, we're sorry.
Yeah, technically you could say there are three Gaijin ships here, not just two, because Anis is in a love triangle.
And this is in a love triangle with two Gaijins, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, so this is amazing.
Yeah, I know. I'm really, really excited to see where this show goes. You know, like you were saying earlier, you were getting like the sister feels between Mel and Maggie. And, you know, I've told you before how as an only child, I never really relate to those kinds of storylines. But I was really excited to see how they introduced Macy's character as, you know, she grew up as an only child and then discovered that she had sisters. And I feel like, I mean, that kind of, I feel like I can relate to that because, you know, of course, like when I was younger, I was always like, I don't know why, but I remember watching those like episodes of Oprah that would be about like kids who were like switched at birth or like, you know, twins who were separated or something like that. And I'd like tell my parents like, what if I have another sibling and I just don't know about them? And my parents were like, we would know about them.
Aww.
But you know, as a kid, I was like, what if I do have a sibling out there? You know, it was like an interesting way to like introduce the third sister that I did not see coming, given that the original series just had them be like three full sisters. So I really applaud them for like, you know, having like a diverse view on like family and relationships and sisterhood and stuff like that. Like this is already off to a great start. And I think that it can only get better from here.
I definitely got teary eyed when they were watching videos of the mom and they were all three on the bed together.
Same. Same. And then they fell asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say that, like, usually the first episode of a series is kind of weak or mediocre, right? Because it's a lot of exposition that they squeeze into one episode.
Yeah. And a lot of times the actors don't vibe as well with each other, you know, like they're still kind of
I didn't get that with this episode.
Neither.
Yeah, because it was clear that there was what they did was they dived into the dynamic instead of providing exposition. The dynamic between Mel and Maggie, where it's clear that one is the older sister and more like quote unquote woke, and then this like younger sister who wants to fit in with the sorority girls. And then we just dive into Macy's sort of moving into this new town. And then like, you know, she's a stranger. She knocks on their door. They don't get along right away. So they dive into the dynamic instead of explaining it away. And so that's why I felt a real connection and why I felt emotional when I watched that scene of the three of them on the bed together.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very difficult to accomplish that in a pilot episode, to get people emotionally invested in the characters.
I totally agree. And I think the actresses did a fantastic job. They had like really good chemistry on screen. They really like sold that sisterhood to us, you know, and I think that had like everything to do with it.
Yeah. I also want to comment about Melko and why I think it wasn't just that this was a big deal to have them feature the queer ship in the pilot episode, but the opening line, the opening exchange between them is a text message where she texts her girlfriend saying, "Get naked." And and the other thing that I realize about this is, like, if you think about queer women ships and how they're introduced on television, in the first season, what you get is a meet cute. And we don't get a meet cute because they're already together.
Exactly. They just jump right into it. And it is actually also sort of like Anissa and Black Lightning, except that it seems like Melko is like OTP, whereas Anissa's, you know, quote unquote girlfriend was sort of just like a way to tell viewers that Anissa was gay. You know, it's like she's not still figuring it out. She's definitely gay, but, you know, broke it off with the girlfriend soon after. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think what we can say about both Black Lightning and Charmed is that they're giving us queer women ships and telling the story in a not so linear way, because I think the problem that some writers get themselves into when they try to write lesbian ships is like, oh, you need a meet cute, then you need some kind of conflict, maybe there's a little bit of cheating involved, and then they get together and they get married. And
that works for heteros, but we are not having.
And I'm like, the reality is that queer women are complicated. It's like you're hanging out in the same ass party, so you see your ex all the time. You get back together with your ex a couple of times. It's messy, and so I feel like in that way we're getting a more authentic portrayal, perhaps, of how messy it is to be a queer woman of color, and not getting the sort of linear, like, let's meet and have it be super innocent and then work up to a first kiss.
I totally agree. That's a really, really astute point.
And you just want to make sure that the writers know how to keep it interesting. That's what I think they're trying to do with Black Lightning. We're not getting a traditional ship route, okay? With Black Lightning, Thunder Grace is not following the trajectory that you would expect it to, and that's why you're getting this sudden out of nowhere threesome.
Threesome.
Sorry, I think wishful thinking there.
You wish.
I know. Wishful thinking there. Sorry, we're not getting this like love triangle. Why did I say that? Oh my god.
We all know. Like,
I want lesbian love triangles to just end in a threesome. But
that's the best way to solve all love triangles, I guess.
Brilliant.
So I think moving forward, we're gonna try to do weekly recaps of Charmed, because we are ever the optimists, and I fully believe that they're gonna have queer content every single episode to discuss, and I also think that they're gonna have like really good like feminist content to discuss, like that pertains to women of color, because, you know, all three of our leads are women of color. Yeah. And like I said earlier, I don't know how often we will be recapping Black Lightning. I think we'll just see kind of how the season progresses and how much they give us. You know, our time is best spent covering QWOC.
That's the name of this podcast.
As is in the title. Yeah. So that is what we will be trying to do from now on. So be sure to check out our Twitter to see when our upcoming episodes air, and subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah, we're so at Q- on top of it. We're at QWOC Ship on Twitter, and you can find us on iTunes and Anchor. And yeah, follow us, tweet at us, let us know what you think. As you're watching the show, send us messages or tweets. We would love to hear your thoughts on Thunder Grace and Melko this season.
Yes, those are the ships to watch out for.
Yeah, I really want to know what's going down on House on Haunted Hill. Is that what the name?
Oh yes, yeah. I are haunting at Hill House.
Thank you.
That was close. That would be another good one.
Yeah. So I'm like down to hear that.
I will keep you updated. I'll probably finish this season by the next time we record. So wow. I will give you a full update.
It's that
good. We're in binge mode. Damn. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay.
All right. Tune in next time, guys, and we will be talking more about Charmed and maybe a touch of Black Lightning. And
fingers crossed, y'all.
Yeah, and the ending to Haunting at Hill House.
All right. Tune in next time, folks.